I know that you're all looking forward to getting all your prizes for attendance and then the special trophies at the end. And we want to get to that part, and we want to get to the supper as quickly as we can. But just before we do that, I want to speak to you all, and I want an opportunity just to bring the gospel to your hearts. And remember, that word gospel means good news. And the Bible contains the best news of all. And the good news is that there's a way of salvation. There's a way that you can be saved, your soul can be saved. We don't want you to be lost, but we want you to go to heaven. Remember that lovely one we sang at the start, "There is a city bright," and that's referring to heaven. And that's where we'd like everybody to go. Now, just before we start, if you put your hands out like this, wiggle your fingers, finger exercise, and then you cross your arms. And if you can keep your arms like that, and everybody sit up nice and straight, and let's hear for a moment just how still and how quiet you can be. Remember, the Bible says if we're still, that's when we really know God's presence, and that's when we can really hear his voice. I want to speak to you for a few minutes about bells, and especially what we can call gospel bells. There's a lot of gospel lessons that we can learn from different types of bells. There's a hymn in our book, 244, "The Gospel Bells Are Ringing." I said to some of the workers at the beginning that I would get them to come up and sing it for us before I started, but they were a wee bit shy of doing that, as you can appreciate. But the gospel bells, there's some bells I want you to think about, and they're bells that you're all familiar with, and there's some great lessons that we can learn from them. The first one is the telephone bell. Do you know the name of the man that invented the telephone? Does anybody know his name? Strangely enough, his name's Bell. Not Dinger Bell. He's old, but he's just not that old. It was Alexander Graham Bell was the man that invented the telephone. And you know, boys and girls, the way that you know the phone is actually ringing is you hear the bell. Now, I know with mobile phones today and all those sort of things, it's not necessarily a bell. There's all sorts of tunes and different things that you can download and program into your phone. But normally it's a bell, or certainly at the start. And here's like some of the outside bells. And look, there's the bell system. Alexander Graham Bell was a Scottish man that went to live in America. And he spent most of his life in America. And he had a lovely holiday home in Canada where he went in the summer. But he died out there in Canada. So I want you to think about the telephone bell. And whenever the telephone bell rings, boys and girls, that means there's somebody's calling you. There's somebody actually wants to speak to you. And you know, boys and girls, I want you to think of this. This is a great thing. God actually wants to speak to you tonight. And in a meeting like this, and in all the meetings that you attend through the winter, God is calling you. It's not a wonderful thing. If you got a phone call from the Prime Minister or from the Queen or maybe from the President of America, whoa, what an honour that would be. That would be some phone call to take, wouldn't it? But think, far higher than that, the God of heaven is calling you tonight. And you know what the Bible says? He's calling you personally by your name. In the book of Isaiah, it says, "I have called thee by thy name, and thou art mine." So every time you think of the telephone and you think of it ringing and somebody wants to speak to you, somebody's calling you, I want you to remember that God's calling you. And you know what God's calling you to? To salvation. To turn from your sins and to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. It's not what the New Testament says. The words of the Lord Jesus, "I've not come to call the righteous." See, there's the word. "I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Here's another bell, the doorbell. They come in all shapes and sizes, don't they? This is one of the nice ones where you actually pull it out instead of pushing it in. But all sorts of doorbell. Whenever I first started in the Lord's work and was going around the doors, you see doorbells like this? This one over at the end. Sometimes there's a wee place there where people can put their name in, the family name, so that you know who lives there. Well, when I was going along this street, and every one of the bells had said, Friedland, Friedland, I said, dear, Friedland, there must be an awful lot of Friedlands live along this street. And then it dawned on me, Friedland were the people that actually made the bell. It was their bell. The people hadn't changed the name at all. But there's all sorts of bells, boys and girls. And whenever the doorbell rings, that means that there's somebody at the door. And whenever they ring the doorbell, they generally want you to open the door and let them come in for a wee while. They maybe want to speak to you. They want to say a few things to you. And you know, it's just the same for you, especially if you're not saved. And I know there's some in the meeting tonight, and you're not saved. Remember, the Bible makes that distinction between those that are saved and going to heaven and those that are unsaved and they're not going to heaven. Well, if you're not saved, I want you to know there's somebody at your heart's door, and that person's the Lord Jesus, and he wants you to open the door. There's a wee verse in the Bible that says, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Isn't that another way you get somebody's attention? Sometimes when you go to the door, the bell doesn't work. It's not right. You push and you can't hear the bell ringing, and you're not sure whether the people inside know you're there. So what you do is you knock. Isn't that right? Well, that's what the Lord Jesus is doing. You just think, stop for a wee minute, nice and quiet. And the Lord Jesus is at your heart's door, and he's knocking. Maybe if I do it over here. He's knocking on your heart's door. And you know what he wants you to do, boys and girls? He wants you to open the door. And he wants you to let him to come in to be your Saviour. I wonder, will you do that tonight? That would be the greatest thing that could happen in this meeting. If you were to let the Lord Jesus come in to your hearts. Remember, every time you hear the doorbell ringing and there's somebody at the door, you remember that the Lord's at the door of your heart and he wants you to let him in. So here's another bell, boys and girls. A fire bell. Who thinks they might like to be a fireman when they grow up? And that'd be good. Exciting. Very dangerous too, but isn't it? This is an old-fashioned fire engine. And there's a bell on the side, nicely polished up. And whenever it would be going down the street, they would ring the bell. And that bell would be a warning of danger, that there was a fire somewhere. And always remember, boys and girls, that fire is not something to play with. Fire is something that's very, very dangerous. And you can be harmed with fire. But I want to remind you tonight of an awful fire that the Bible speaks about. And that's the fires of hell. Because remember, we can't be lost. We can go to lost eternity. If you were in danger of being burnt in a fire in a house, and I didn't tell you about it, wouldn't that be a terrible thing? The most loving and kind thing that any person can do if you're in danger is to warn you about that danger. And that's why they ring the bell. They want to get the attention of everybody to know that there is danger. And that's what we want to do tonight, boys and girls. We want lovingly and tenderly to warn you that you can be lost. You can go to a lost eternity. You know that lovely verse that was up on the screen, John 3:16? It has the word in it, perish. You can perish for all eternity. And we want to warn you of that. You need to flee. Flee from the wrath to come. And you need to flee to the Lord Jesus to be your Saviour, to ask him into your heart. Here's another bell, the alarm clock. I'm sure there's not too many in the meeting that like this bell when it goes off in the morning. You mightn't have to worry about it for the next few weeks, especially if you're off on your Easter holidays. But when the alarm clock goes off, it's not so nice, especially if it goes off early and you didn't get to bed too early and you're in a real deep sleep. So the alarm clock rings to waken us and to remind us it's time to get up. And you know, boys and girls, there's such a thing as a spiritual sleep. The Bible talks about that. Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead. Now I know sometimes people sleep in church. Anybody sleeping tonight? Let's take a wee look around. I can appreciate that, you know. People that work outside, and they're used with the air and things a wee bit colder. When they come into the church and they sit down in lovely comfortable seats and the heat's on, It's very, very easy to drift off to sleep, isn't it? Who was the famous man in the New Testament that fell asleep in the meeting? Does anybody know his name? No. Eutychus. Wasn't he the man? And you know what happened, boys and girls, when he fell asleep? They were in a building that had three floors, and he fell out of the top one, fell out of the window, and he died. And the Apostle Paul came and he put his hands on him and he did a miracle. He raised him up to life again. But it's not the people that sort of sleep in the meeting I want you to think about so much tonight. It's those that are spiritually asleep. That can be true of unsaved people. You know, whenever you're asleep, you don't realize the danger you're in. There could be danger all around, and you wouldn't know it because you're in such a deep sleep, and you need somebody to come to awaken you and to make you aware of the danger. And I've told you about the danger of a lost eternity. And sometimes you need to be awakened. We need to speak to you in a very clear manner to make you aware of the danger that you're in. And it's true as well, you know, of Christians. Those words, "Awake thou that sleepest," those are in the book of Ephesians. Paul wrote those to Christians. Sometimes Christians can get sleepy. They can get indifferent. They can get very lethargic. And they need to be awakened so that they're not wasting their time and wasting their lives, and get them into the service of the Lord. Do you know, you don't like somebody that wakens you up generally. Is that right? You think of the man that has to go down the train, waking all the people up on the train that need up early. People don't like to be awakened. And it's the same spiritually, you know. People are so comfortable in their sleep. But the Bible says, awake. Sometimes we need to hear the alarm clock to waken us so that we spend our time wisely in the service of the Lord. Some clocks have bells as well. This is probably the most famous clock in the country. Do you know what you call this tower? Well, Big Ben is actually the bell. This used to be called St. Stephen's Clock Tower, but it's got a new name now. Do you know what the new name is? Well, no. Big Ben's the bell. The tower is now called the Queen Elizabeth Tower, in honour of Her Majesty and the great anniversaries that she has celebrated in recent years. I was right up there one time, right at the top of the tower for the 12 o'clock strike. And the guide, you have to walk up, there's no lift. You walk and you walk and walk and you get about here and you come out into a room. And the guide tells you there's good news and bad news. The good news is we're going to have a wee rest. And the bad news is you're only about a third of the way up. So it's a long walk up. And he warned us that we had to watch our heads. You see all these steel girders? And look, the hammer's actually on the outside. It's not on the inside. And whenever the hammer strikes the bell, and you know what weight this bell is? 13.5 tons. The first one was 16 tons, but the damage did during trials. So they pulled that 13.5 ton bell the whole way up the tower with ropes right to the very top. And when it goes off, the noise makes you stand back with shock. And that's why they warn you about your head. And what happens is, on the hour and the quarter of the hour, see those wee fellas up in the corners there? Those are the quarter bells. They're the ones that sound in between. So the whole purpose of the bells on this clock is to let you know what time it is. So let's ask that question, boys and girls, for a moment. What time is it? Well, what time is it in your life? Some of you are very young. Some of you are in middle age. Some of you are old. But you know, boys and girls, it doesn't matter what stage of life you're at. It's true for all of us that life may almost be at an end. We don't know how long or a short a time we're going to have upon this earth. But if we were to ask the question, what time? And whenever the bells go off here, people generally know what time it is because of the sounds they make and so on. And it rings out 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock. They know what time it is. Well, what time is it spiritually? Well, the prophet Hosea gives us the answer. It's time to seek the Lord. And I want to say that to everybody in the meeting. Maybe you've been holding back. It's many years from the Lord first spoke to you about your soul and about salvation. Well, let me emphasize to you tonight, it's time right now in this meeting, no better time for you to seek the Lord and to get right with him and ask him into your heart to be your Savior. We're doing very well. Church bells. Some churches have bells, isn't that right? And they sound those for church services, for weddings, for funerals, on special occasions. And it's always nice to hear the church bells sounding. But you know the most important thing the church bells do, boys and girls? They remind you about the church meetings. They sound the bells to let you know that it's almost time for the services to begin. And I want to emphasize that to you. You know, it's a sad thing. See the land we live in. So many people don't go to church anymore. So many children don't go to Sunday school. And that makes us sad. And you think of how sad God must be about that. Do you know what the Bible says? It says that we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And I want to emphasize that to you. You know, it's an important thing to get saved. But you see, if you're going to go on as a Christian, if you're going to grow and get stronger, well, then you need to come to the meetings. You need to fellowship with other Christians. You need to come along and hear the Word of God. There's so much to learn in the Bible. You might know the plan of salvation, and that's very good, and you'll be able to tell that to others. But there's so many other things to learn. So I want you to encourage you to come to church. The families here, maybe some of you don't go to church. And I want to invite you to come along to our meetings. And I want to encourage you to send your children along to the meetings next year again and send them along to the Sunday school as well. We'd really be glad. And how important that is. Whenever you hear the church bell sounds, it reminds us of God's house and the importance of being there, being at the meetings in God's house. Here's another one. The school bell. Isn't that a good one there? I didn't think it would do that, actually, when it wasn't connected to the internet, but it's a very good thing, isn't it? Who wants to go back to school? Who's off school for the Easter holidays? Oh, wow. Well, you see, in a couple of weeks' time, that's what you'll be hearing. Back to school. There's what the school bell used to be like. You see this one over here? Whenever Davy went to school, that's the sort of bell they had all those many years and years ago. The school bell, sometimes, maybe a few years ago that I had the bell up here the way they do in the church, the school bell. The school bell reminds you of classes. And at classes, you learn, boys and girls. And there's so much to learn, isn't that right? You remember how important your school years are. I want to encourage you to go regularly to school. And I want to encourage you to work hard at all your subjects and all your classes. In years to come, when you look back, you'll be very pleased that you did work hard. It's important to learn. But I want to remind you how important it is to learn the things of God. The Bible says we're to study. The Bible encourages us to study. And the Bible says that we're to give attendance to reading. And those are two very important things for the Christian. And I want to encourage you to do that. And especially, boys and girls, I want to encourage you to read the Bible. You start that habit while you're young. It's a great thing to be able to read. Think of so many children in the world. You saw John in the picture out in Uganda. And there's so many children in the world that don't go to school and can't read. You take those things sometimes for granted. But you can read. And I want to encourage you to read the Bible. And I want to encourage the parents to spend time reading the Bible with the children too. And you study faithfully and regularly the Word of God. Here we go. Another one. Let us see what this one is. What sort of bells are those? Do you know what sort of bells those are? Who would be listening to those bells ringing? Who said that? Shout it out for me. Servants. That's right. Servants' bells. Not so many houses maybe in the country today that has bells like that. Maybe if you go to some of the grand houses that's owned by the National Trust and so on, you might see a row of bells. Or if you watched that series, Downton Abbey, you'd have seen all those sort of bells ringing very regularly. Look, you see the different rooms? There's the linen room, the morning room, the study, and so on. And every time a bell would ring, you'd look up to see which room you had to run to. These were the bells for the servants. And you know, boys and girls, let me tell you this, it's very important. The Bible talks about those that are servants of God. There mightn't be that position of servant in our land as once it was. But remember, we should still be servants. We should be the servant of the Lord. And that's a great title to have. It's not just a case of you getting saved and then you just have to wait on your life ending and going to heaven. The Lord wants you to use the time that you have very wisely. And he wants you to use that time serving him. We're saved to serve. So I want to encourage, right from your very childhood, like Samuel, remember he ministered to the Lord when he was still a youth. And I want to encourage you from the very beginning of your life to serve the Lord with all your heart. And ask the Lord to show you what he wants you to do with your life. Pray that he'll make that clear. And that he will show you how he wants you to serve him. There's a great verse, and I say it to all the people, parents and families, remember this, Joshua's words at the end of his life, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And I'd like that to be your desire and your prayer as well. Now, we're getting near an end. Wedding bells. The wedding bells. Sometimes you hear the wedding bells, don't you? The wedding bells sounding. Sometimes on a wedding day, symbolically, the wedding bells are given to the bride and the groom. And sometimes the church bells, they ring. They ring so loudly on a wedding day. But here's what I want you to think about, boys and girls. You see, every time a wedding takes place in a church, it should remind us of another wedding that the Bible speaks about. And it's what is known as the marriage supper of the Lamb. And what is going to happen is the church and Christ, the church is the bride, and the Lord Jesus is the groom. And one day there's going to be a wedding. Sometimes I sing a little piece at weddings. There's going to be a wedding such as earth has never known when the Son of God from heaven comes to earth to claim his own. So remember that every time a wedding takes place, that should remind us, it should cause us to lift our eyes a wee bit higher and think of spiritual and eternal things, the wedding supper of the Lamb. And remember, boys and girls, you're all invited. You can only go to a wedding if you've got an invitation. And you're all invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And the invitation is the invitation of the gospel. Come on to me, the Lord Jesus says. But you have to respond. You have to accept the invitation by receiving the Lord Jesus if you want to be at the marriage supper of the Lamb. So here's one moral mention to you. This is Aaron the high priest. And you see the lovely garments that the high priest wore. There's so many lessons that we could draw out of those. But I want you to look at the bottom. You see this lovely robe of blue? Well, all around the bottom, there were some special thing. And here's an enlargement of it. Look, these are pomegranates. Those are a special fruit. And they were to be woven in these particular colors. But in between every pomegranate, there was to be a bell. A golden bell. Now, you be nice and still just for a minute till I tell you this as we finish. What happened was, you see, when Aaron was walking along, walking through the tabernacle, you always knew when Aaron was coming. Do you know why? He could hear the bells ringing at the bottom of his robe of blue. So it was very clear and very distinctive. And if you were misbehaving, sometimes people misbehave in church. Well, they would misbehave, I'm sure, in the tabernacle too. Well, they would hear Aaron coming and they'd hear the bells ringing on the bottom of that robe of blue. But this is the very special significance. There was a great day in Israel, one day every year called the Great Day of Atonement. That was the only day in the Israeli calendar that they entered into a part of the tabernacle known as the Holy of Holies. And that's when Aaron sprinkled the blood on the mercy seat, the blood of the goat, on the great day of atonement. And you know what happened, boys and girls? The people would all be nice and still, and I want you to be still and quiet. You think of the whole congregation of Israel. They're waiting while Aaron's in the Holy of Holies. And you know what they're waiting for, boys and girls? They're waiting to hear the bells ringing. Because you know what the bells would tell them? That Aaron was still alive. You see, if he offered a sacrifice that wasn't pleasing to God in the Holy of Holies, he would die. But if the sacrifice had been accepted and was well pleasing to God, they would hear the bells ringing, and they would hear him coming back out of the Holy of Holies. And you know, that reminds us of the Lord Jesus. Next Sunday's Easter Sunday. Every Sunday we remember the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, but especially on Easter Sunday. And you see the fact that he rose from the dead, boys and girls. Remember, Aaron came back out alive, and the Lord Jesus came out of the tomb alive. And you know what that tells us? That his sacrifice was accepted and well-pleasing to God. And that means you can trust it. You can depend upon that sacrifice. And I want to encourage you to do that. Put your faith and trust in the finished work, in the finished sacrifice of the Lord Jesus on the cross. Now, you've done very well. And we're going to sing our closing hymn. And then we'll give out the prizes and we'll pronounce the benediction. And the closing hymn is 700.